We're good to go. Thank you, sir. This last week was our fair week, and we had many people come out and benefit from the resources. And I want to talk today about something that makes our booth ministry through the summer a little bit different. And we've spoken about it here before, but I want to talk about why we don't invite people to our church as a priority at our booth ministries, even though that is a fine thing to do. Inviting people to church is good. You should do it. People should do it. In fact, the surveys have found out that if you invite people to church, they may come out. And yes, that is a face palm on your outline, because that's what I think when I say that. It's like, that should be obvious. You invite people to church, they might come out. In fact, they see 40% of people who are invited come out. It's like saying 100% of people will come into your church building who are wanting to if your doors are unlocked. You know, it's like, yes, of course, that is true, make people feel welcome. But as a priority in our booths, you might see in a lot of church tables and things like that, or outreach events, it's all about getting them into this building and getting them into our regular church meetings. And we just don't push that as a priority. And there's various reasons for that. And I want to deal with today things that are more important than coming out to our church, which is why we don't make that a priority. For many people, the most important thing you can do as a Christian is to come out to church. As long as you get them out to church, go to church, make sure they get to church. Are they going to church? Doesn't matter which church it is, go to church, at least they're going to church. It's like, that's the important thing that's been pushed for a long, long time. And though it's very important to attend church, it is not the most important thing. In fact, there's at least seven things more important than that. I say at least because of a few more I tagged on the side here just thinking about it. So you can find some more important. But why don't we invite people as a priority at our booth ministries? Well, because that's not the way we choose to grow the church. We don't think that biblically growing the church comes from the method of initially inviting them to church. Modern church growth method works like this. And by the way, this comes from having books on my shelf about how to grow your church the modern way. And it starts with number one, get them to the church, right? If you get them to church, that's step one. Say step one, that's it, just get them in the doors. And that's why what you see in the outward face of many church ministries is getting them in the door, okay? And just invite them any way you can. In fact, if that's a priority number one, you can see why churches will do anything and everything to get you there, right? We have a barbecue, we've got a cookout, we've got fireworks, we got this and that and the other. I mean, you like that? We got that too. You like playing video games? We have that upstairs. You just get to the building, right? Anyway, just get there, you know? That's step number one. Step number two is to relate with them. Form relationships with the people in the building, right? With these new people especially. Step number three, integrate the new people into the activities and programs of the church. Make sure the kids go to class. Make sure the parents get involved in a group. Make sure they get maybe some responsibility. Maybe they can help out with this and that and the other thing. And step number four is to train them to repeat this process. Invite their friends to come to church, right? Now, that's the modern growth method. And so you have churches growing like this, okay? This method has resulted in many unsaved people in churches. Amen. You say, why is that? Well, look at the steps. Nowhere in there is a necessity to communicate the gospel to them. In fact, they'll say one reason you need to get them to church is that perhaps they might hear from the message of the preacher how to be saved, right? Or maybe if you relate to them over forming a personal relationship over years and years, then perhaps they'll hear the gospel to be saved. Integrate them into the activities of the church. You have a barbecue in the name of Jesus. Maybe one day they'll ask, why hot dogs, why Jesus, you know? And then, you know, so this is the thought, is that it's an accident almost that the gospel will be preached, but the method of growth is stated that way. Well, intentionally choosing not to perform that method of church growth, and we don't necessarily want to prioritize unsaved people in this giant gathering of people. We think the church function is for the church. We do it a little differently. So we don't make it a priority to invite people to our booth ministry, to our church. Instead, we have posters with Bible doctrine and the gospel. We have tracts with the gospel and Bible doctrine. And if anything, from our booth, people walk by sometimes and say, what are you about? Who are you? What is going on here? Are you an organization? And because they see all this Bible doctrine, and they're a little confused, like, what are you trying to get people to do? And our response is, study the Bible, right? And our response is, read the Bible, you know the gospel. You know, are you a Christian? You know, how do you know? You know, this sort of thing. And so that's the orientation of our booth ministry for some 14 years now. But why don't we make it a priority to invite people at our booth ministry, even though we do when people want to ask us where you're at? And at the back of every tract we have is Grace Ambassadors, the website, and an address. We just don't push that first. Why not? Well, the first reason may be, and if you work the booth at all, you'll see that this is a problem. If you were to invite people to your church right out the gate, which other church booths have done to me and other people, Then if they have a church, then you lose, right? And so if you say you're invited and welcome to come to our church, they say, I have a church. I go to the church. That's it. Game over. Conversation over. You can't do anything else. You can't get into the building. They're going somewhere else. And in an environment, especially in Indiana here, where greater than 70% of people call themselves Christians, and there's churches in every church corner, and people think that they go to church or have a church if they attend anywhere between 2 or 10 times a year, then you're diminishing your chances of getting people who are looking, don't have, and never go to a church. They exist. It's just chances are smaller, which I think contributes to why churches don't do booth ministries as much, doing it that way. Like, they have other events at their churches instead. It also doesn't work if the booth ministry you're doing, handing out tracts and resources and ministering to people, is too far away from your church. In a couple weeks, we'll be doing a booth ministry in Madison County, which is some 40 minutes away from our church building, right? So the circle and radius of people down there is different than up here, right? Even though some of you are closer to that than not. But if your booth is too far away, down in Alexandria when we're down there, and we say, come out to our church, and say where it's at, and you say, well, Greentown, they're not driving up there, right? It's too far away. So you lose again. That means booth ministry can only be done close to your church building, right? Instead, if that's not the orientation of your booth, you can do it anywhere. You can do it anywhere in the world. You don't even have to have a church to invite them to, and you could do booth ministry, right? And so we think that's a better way to do it. Also, people are more likely to take and read a tract than come out to a church by blind invitation. Most of the people that come out to churches by invitation are people that you know. Again, that's a fine way. Invite them to church if you know the people. You know who they are, where they're coming from. They might benefit from it. Invite them to church. But blind invitation, strangers walking by, come out to our church, come out to our church. They're more likely to take a tract and read it at home than come out to a church they know nothing about, for people they know nothing about, right? Blind invitation, right? Sometimes you get the curious person, but it's not the majority, okay? Also, if we're just blindly inviting people to our church, and again, everyone is welcome to come and perform ministry with us and study with us, it can be overwhelming, a little bit much for those who are lost to be at our church. And again, you see how this is counter to the way churches have formed themselves, right? Since their function is to invite people to church, they've changed the form of their church to match that. And so there could be unbelievers here this morning, so we're not going to get heavy into doctrine. We're not even going to open the Bible this morning. We're going to talk about you and what you need spiritually, right? So it's oriented around unbelievers. But if the church function is to edify those that believe this book and study it, amen, right, then someone who is just entirely lost, not only in their own mind, but like has nothing to do with Christianity, and is here, it could be uninteresting or boring or lacking relevancy to them or simply too much for them, okay? Again, you're welcome to stay, right? You're welcome to learn and grow, and you can. But it's too much. If we were to invite them out to our church as a priority, we'd have to change the form of what we do, wouldn't we? Right? And some of you express the same thing to me. Sometimes people I know, you say, would be overwhelmed coming out here. I get it. That is a conscious decision. There are certain ministries and things we can do. We can have Bible studies with other people at a different form and a different function, right? But the church is supposed to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's supposed to create workmen. And if people don't care about being that, then that's why they don't prefer coming to a function that does that, right? So people who are lost, or people just who are not lost, who are saved, who couldn't care less about the Bible, right? Like, you're invited to the church, you say, what do you got there? We studied the Bible. I've had this conversation with multiple people. Like, what do you do at church? We studied the Bible. Anything else? We mentioned other people with the Bible. Anything else? We sing songs about the Bible, and we, Bible, Bible, Bible. It's all about the Bible and doctrine with you, isn't it? It's like, yeah. It's like, is there anything else? Like, any fun things? It's like, I can see you don't care about what we're doing. You see the issue here? Now, if I would just told them, just come out and check it out, right? Knowing that they don't care about Bible doctrine, I'm setting them up for failure, right? I'm setting them up for, like, turning around and going, yeah, it's not for me. Not good, Which leads to another reason why we don't prioritize it. It seems less honest to invite them out when you don't know if that's something they want or need or able to do. Or it's not as transparent when we go to people and say, just come and see, which sounds kind of like a trap, like bait and switch, right? Come to our church. Well, what's there? We'll just come out and see. It's a little creepy and not transparent. It's like, I got to go out to your church to figure out what's going on. Oh, yeah, it's amazing. It's great. You hype it up a little bit, you know. People come out, and maybe it is, maybe it's not. You better have a show on there, or else they won't be persuaded to stick around, right? And so rather, I'd be honest, transparent about it. We got the same doctrine in our fair booth that we teach here. Amen. And there are people that get triggered by that. They're angry. Like, oh, no, that's wrong entirely. Well, I'm glad to invite you to our church then. You know, you're welcome, but you obviously would not like it, right? And there's others that would like to have those conversations about Bible doctrine. And so the point is, there's very pragmatic reasons not to make that a priority. But there are just things also that are more important than coming out to our church biblically. And that's why I want to cover the rest of the lesson this morning. I'll cover seven things that are more important than coming out to our church, which should give many justifications for you to stay home if you'd like, right? I teach a lesson every now and then about this, and that you don't have to be here, just to see who wants to be here, right? Right? So number one thing that's more important than coming out to church is you knowing God. You knowing God. You knowing God is more important than your relationship to other people, including us, right? Now, again, this might grate against some people. Hey, wait a minute. The relationships that people have, I have with other people are really important. And they are. What's more important is you knowing God, okay? And if you don't have that balance right, then you're going to be looking for something different than what we're providing, okay? We're not providing a hope of increased personal relationship with other people. The church's function is to help you understand and know God more, right? And so that's the function of that. But the point is, you can know God without coming to church. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. You could know God at home, okay? The house of God, as the Bible calls it in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, is not made of brick and mortar. Amen. The house of God is not brick and mortar. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Paul is telling Timothy about how to behave and instructing them how to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. That house of God is not a building. It's the gathering of people who are in the body of Christ. Amen. Right? But when people think that God dwells in an actual building, you can see why the priority should be inviting them to the place where God is. Right? So if you have that wrong doctrine that the building is, God dwells in this place, right? And it's not about in us and in the people, then yeah, you should get them to that building. Smell the smells, see the sounds, feel the experience, have the emotional, because God is in this place. He's not in the parking lot, but he's here, you know. Well, that's the wrong doctrine. Okay, the house of God is not made of brick and mortar. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul writes, know you not that you, people who believe the gospel, are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God dwells in people who are saved by the gospel, not in any brick and mortar building. Okay? And so that means when we're at the fair ministry, and there are saved members of the body of Christ, you all in that booth, in the ministry, doing that ministry, there's the church there doing something. Because it's not about the commercial building or the fair grounds. Those aren't holy grounds. They got too much elevators on them. You know, no, it's like you're the church, right? This carpet's no more special or less special than the carpet that we had in our commercial building this last week at the fair, all right? In Ephesians 2, verse 22, look what Paul says about what is being built by God. It is not a building. You don't build a church with brick and mortar. It's nice to keep the rain off your head. It's nice to keep the temperature comfortable, but it's not what the actual church is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, Paul says, in whom ye also, you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You are builded as a habitation of God through the Spirit, not a building. We didn't construct this building. We did not reform this building here, remodel the building, in order for God to dwell in this place. Right. But that is what David and Solomon did, right? David wanted a house for God, and God had a tabernacle he was dwelling in with Israel, and Solomon actually built that tabernacle, that temple, and he overlaid the thing with gold and pictures and reminders of God's glory and everything else, right? But now we're the temple of God, amen. Not brick and mortar, not plaster and paint. And so knowing God is more important than coming to church, and you can know God outside of this place. That doesn't mean you can, you know, meditate on your belly button and look at the sky and know God. It means that you don't have to be in this place to know God, okay? Something else more important than coming to our church is your salvation. Now, it should be repeated here that attending a church, even our church or even a Grace church, does not save you. So coming to a church and attending, say, I am here, aren't I, doesn't mean you are saved. And that's true for any church, but even Grace churches, okay? Just because you're among other people that understand doesn't mean you understand. Just because you're among other people that are saved doesn't mean you are saved. And just because you're in a place or a building doesn't mean you're saved. So it's not about church attendance. And I have to say that because there are people, and I've heard it, again, doing fair ministry, that think going to church is what makes them a Christian. Going to church is what saves them. Okay, that's simply not true. For too long, verses like Hebrews 10:25 have been wrongly used by people in ministry leadership to abuse the understanding of those to fill up pews. That's the goal. The goal is to get people to come out to church. It's always a problem. People struggle in their flesh not to gather together and do ministry work. And so they're always beating the crowd, trying to get them to do something and come out, right? And we ought to change our hearts to desire a right thing. The way we do it is always what differs between ministries. Is how you do that. Do you use grace? Do you use law? What's the point? But Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, 10:25? I'm in the wrong chapter here. Hebrews 10, 25. It says, not forsaking. Let's back up to verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And that is the most oft-quoted New Testament passage about why you should attend church, right there, in the middle of an epistle written to Israel, okay, under their covenants about the law, and they're assembling together. Now, is it wrong for Christians to assemble together? No, in fact, God instructs us to assemble together, okay? But the not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, who don't come out to church, right? But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's verse 26 say? If we sin willfully, after we see the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment by indignation. That'll preach well about church attendance, won't it? Yeah. You better assemble together, or what? Well, the next two verses, there's a lot of judgment. I don't want to say you're going to be damned to hell, but the verses are pretty fiery, right? But this is where a lot of people, and by tradition, of course, they think that God dwells in a place, which is wrong, or that salvation can be given, or God will grant you entrance into heaven or salvation because you are in his place, right? And both of those ideas are wrong. Salvation is by God's grace and his work, not yours. And it does take work to get dressed, put gas in the car, drive to a building, and attend. That's a work, okay? And it's not by your work that you're saved. It's the gift of God. It's not of yourselves. No man can boast of salvation, saying, I've attended church for so long. Nope. You are saved once, and that by God's grace, trusting his finished work to save you. Ephesians 2:8 says, it's by grace you're saved through faith. You're justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his death for your offenses, his resurrection for your justification, Romans 4:25. That is the work that was done to save you. And so that's why it's not of works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, right? And so this is the gospel of salvation. And you can be saved without coming to church or coming to our church. And this is an important reason why we hand out gospel tracts and have gospel conversations with people instead of inviting them to our church at the fairs. I'd rather them be saved and never enter into the shadows of our building than them to be lost and come to our church building thinking they're saved because they come here. You see? And so you might have another opportunity to talk to these people. And so you ask them if they're a Christian, how do they know they're saved? You give them a gospel tract, and you go through the gospel with them. You explain to them Bible doctrine. Try to answer their confusions if you can, or give them the material to do that, because they may never attend a church, or yours, if they decided to one day in the future. And so salvation's much more important than coming to our church gathering, our church assembly. Okay? Number three thing that's more important than coming to our church is increasing faith, your faith being stronger. Right? Growing your faith. Faith, by the way, is not a work or action like attending church. Faith is what you hear from the Word of God. It comes from hearing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And it doesn't say faith comes by church attendance. Nope. So I attend church. Yeah, I got faith. Faith in what? Well, I attend church, don't I? You know, the little person at the fair tell me, I said, are you a Christian? He said, yeah. I said, well, how'd that happen? He goes, well, I've always been one. Wow. You've always, that's, wow, that's longer than, you're not born a Christian is what I said. You can't be born a Christian, right? You're not born one. He said, well, my parents prayed for me and they always took me to church and things like that. Like his faith was in the attendance of his family, like not even his own, his family's attendance. You know how many people I've heard say that they're saved because their grandma prayed for them? Yeah. too many. It's like, too many. There should be none that say that. And so this idea of church attendance is often confused for things more important. Okay? And faith is not attending church. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. Your faith should increase and grow and abound in the 5 or 6 days a week that you're not here. If it doesn't, you're hurting when you come here, apparently. Right? And so faith should increase, grow, and abound in life outside of church meetings. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul, who's not a regular attendee of the Thessalonian church, and so is not presently there, though he has ministered to them and helped start the assembly. He says in verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds. He is not simply talking about your faith growing every Sunday. Right? So it's not because of the church attendance alone that your faith grows. And so what's more important than you simply attending church? Your faith growing, your faith increasing, right? Well, that requires then, of course, you to hear the word of God and you to grow from that in application in your life. You know what's more important than attending a church generally? Is attending a church that gets faith right. Like truth matters. Do you see? And so more important than coming to our church is truth. And that's what faith is, belief in the truth. And faith can't increase and grow and abound, and truth can't be proclaimed if you're not hearing the word of God properly, right? So it's not about church attendance or being a part of a church. It's about increasing faith. Fourth thing that is more important than coming to our church is understanding the Bible, amen. Right? It is more important for you to know God, know what salvation is, be saved, to increase your faith, to understand the Bible, than it is to come to our church. Now, some of you are already getting the clue here. Say, wait a minute, don't we do this in our church? Yeah, but you don't need the church for this. You can understand the Bible on your own. In fact, many people that we meet, especially in our travels, many of you learned first how to rightly divide the Bible or learn how to use the Bible from distance education. Can I say it that way? Like online, YouTube, emails. Bible study, in fact, can be done alone with yourself. In fact, it can and should be done alone by yourself, right? Not all the time, but definitely also. And it's by the God's word of truth. It's not you and other people that do Bible study. Now, that happens. We call them Bible studies, and that's good and it's edifying. But you and the Bible is what Bible study is, you studying it. It's not Bible study for you to be here right now listening to me preach this. That's not your Bible study. That's you hearing from me and what I've prepared, do you see? So your understanding of the Bible may benefit from me explaining something to you, but it'll benefit greater from you seeing it in the Word of God yourself, okay? This is why 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show the neighbor approved unto God. Well, that'd be good advice for a preacher, I think, study so that everyone else can understand. Yes, but the instruction to Timothy is study to show yourself approved unto God. Right, and so this is personal to a person, being approved unto God, not to other people, and their awareness of the word of truth, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so the right division there is not of the church or of churches or of people. And I've heard people teach it like that. We should rightly divide. That means we should rightly divide people. Like it's the word of truth we're rightly dividing here, right? So it's nothing to do with church attendance or churches at all. You can understand the Bible from books. This is why Christian bookstores exist. Most of them don't give understanding very well, but that's why they exist. This is why people often who are confused about the Bible read Christian books, because they don't get the Bible. They don't think they can. They think it's too hard. They think they have to be trained for it, which is all kind of a self-delusion, but they read other books that seem simpler to them to gain understanding. And when you read a book, I mean, there are book clubs that exist, but most often people read books privately. You don't, hey, come over so I can read a book to you and for you. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. And so reading books, watching videos, private instruction, one-on-one can happen outside of the church meetings, right? So do you have to come to church to understand the Bible? Nope. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. I'm sorry, I left something out. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and church attendance. That the man of God may be perfect. It's not there, right? You can do all of chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 without church attendance. You see? You see kind of the idol that the church has created. attend the church, get to church. And because of a method of growth that they think of people are here, the church is enlarged. No, the church is enlarged when people get saved. They get edified with the truth. Even if the church exists in disparate places across the world, the church is the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church wherever it's at. It's not your local, you know, gathering of people that may or may not be saved, may or may not understand. It's just numbers of people. It's a problem trying to determine your success in ministry and your growth by counting heads. There's a problem with that, right? We all do it. We all want to know how many children we have in our family. But just because we have children doesn't mean we're raising them right. You see, there's a difference there, different way of measuring it. But you can understand the Bible without coming to our church. In fact, in verse 15 in 2 Timothy 3, Paul says to Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Right? Well, what was he saying? That he went to church as a child every week? He didn't, because the body of Christ wasn't communicated at that point. His mother and grandmother communicated to him Scriptures, like in home. Call that house church. That's just like what you're supposed to do. Communicate God's word to people, to yourself, those around you. You don't need the church to understand the Bible. You don't have to go to church to understand the Bible. Okay. What about number five? More important thing that comes into church. Doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. First of all, do you know what the will of God is? You don't have to attend church to know the will of God, right? And we often point that out to people. I told someone at the fair this last week that there are verses in the Bible that tell you what the will of God is. You don't have to guess about that. Just tells you very plainly. And so there's lots of places, of course, in the Bible that describe God's will and lay it out. There's some verses just very plainly. This is the will of God for you, so you definitely shouldn't miss those. And in 1 Timothy 2:4 is one place that says that. And you're familiar with these verses. That God, who is talked about in verse 3, God our Savior, verse 4 says, who will, God's will, have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There's two things there that you don't have to come out to church to get, amen. Right? Remember salvation? You don't get saved by entering a church door, right? And the knowledge of the truth, well, that comes from the Word of God. That's your increasing faith, right? And so 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, you can do God's will without attending church. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Why am I a leader of the church here, a pastor of the church, preaching a message about you don't have to come to church? I hope that shows you some integrity about the Scripture. Amen. Okay? Because I want you to grow in what's important that God has given. Right? Do I want people to attend here and be a part of it? Yes, I do. I really, really do. But I'm not going to lie to you to get you to be here. I'm not going to handicap you to get you to stay here. I'm going to teach you truth and trust God's word work effectually in your heart, that you purpose in your own heart to do what you think you should do before the Lord. Right? That's a different way of doing it. And what that means is our gathering of people is smaller than what it could be. Right? It could be if I did not tell you those things. Right? But that's because I want sincerity. Amen. I want honesty. Right? I want integrity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 3. Paul says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You should abstain from fornication. I hope you can do that without coming to church. I know it happens, and scandalous, these sort of behaviors in church meetings and in church buildings is ridiculous, but this is something you should most obviously be able to do without coming to church. Your sanctification, abstaining from fornication, this is the will of God. By the way, sanctification has to do not just with your behavior, but you knowing who you are, being set apart for the purpose of God, knowing God's will, and being a member and a tool for that. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. Once again, we have a clear statement of this is the will of God. And it starts here in verse 16. He says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm still waiting for God to tell me his will, people say. The Bible says it right there. Yes, but none of those verses tell me what job I should choose or which place I should live. Well, apparently God didn't give you that instruction. You make a wise choice informed by what you know to make those choices. But rejoicing evermore, wherever you're at, praying without ceasing, whatever's happening, and in everything give thanks to God, not for everything, but in every circumstance you're giving thanks here. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You'll see that your inner man, your spiritual life, your choices might change by this behavior. And these are things you do, you should do, without having to come to church to do them. We don't just rejoice and pray and give thanks here. You could do it other places. And so this is much more important than you coming to church. If you're doing this and you never enter a church building, you're doing God's will in this way, aren't you? Right? So you can do the will of God without coming to our church. By the way, we don't have church meetings every day and hour of the night, right? Now, there was a church. What was it, the IHOP church or something? 24-7, they're in there singing songs. It's really a concert for 24 hours a day. But and some churches have their doors open. You can come into an empty room and that sort of thing. But we don't have church meetings. And no one has those. Church meetings regularly 24 hours a day. And why do I bring that up? Well, because Psalm 1:2, another place in the Bible, talk about meditating on God's law or God's word day and night. David says he wakes up at midnight to pray and do things like that. And it's like, well, what church is he going to? Well, he's not going into a building. Even Israel's temple where God dwelt, he didn't go into in the middle of the night. He was praying where he was, right? And so it's no less true even today where you can do these things not coming to our church building, right? Number six thing that's more important than coming to our church is your walk in the Spirit. Your spiritual walk is more important than coming to our church. Now, if someone knows God, knows they're saved, they're increasing in their faith, they're understanding the Bible, they're doing the will of God, and they're walking in the Spirit, that sounds like a faithful Christian to me. And we have yet to hit the point of, you need to go to church. Right? Like, if this were happening without church attendance, then glory be to God. Right? That's what's going on here. Now, does this happen a lot? That's something for you to judge, right? But walking in the Spirit is more important than your attendance in church, as you're walking worthy of the Lord. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. Colossians 1, verse 4. Paul gives thanks to God, which is the will of God, by the way, and he's doing this, writing this letter. He's not doing it in a church meeting. He gives thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Drop down to verse 9. He prays that since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire you might be filled. He hears of their faith and he prays they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He's not praying they would attend church more, right? It's interesting the way we've kind of distorted the priority, right? He wants them to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That doesn't require attending church. Sometimes people think, well, they got to go to church because I can't help them with that. You've been there? I've been there. It's like, I want them to go to church. Why? Because I can't do that for them. I can't give them knowledge and wisdom and of God's will. Maybe the pastor can, you know. Well, I get that, and people need help, and that's why most people do that in invitation to church programs, because they're not equipped, they're not furnished to do ministry to people, okay? But if you're walking in the Spirit, and you're increasing in faith, and you know salvation, what you know, what you have in you, you can minister to someone. And so I try to give you the courage here that you don't have to come to our church to ministry. You can minister to people with what you know in salvation about God, okay, where you're at in your daily life. Colossians 1 verse 10, Paul prays that they might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Just like you can be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, you can walk worthy of the Lord outside of church buildings. Okay, this is not church attendance he's talking about. A worthy walk is not the way you walk through those doors. That's not the worthy walk. What's a worthy walk? Well, you enter the front door, turn to the right, and turn to the left in the auditorium. Worthy walk is your walk to church. And you get a few amens from the Baptist. You're amen, yeah, get to church. You know, it's like, no, well, that's not church attendance there. You just twisted the scripture. That's talking about something else. Your worthy walk is you walking in the Spirit, you walking after the Spirit. Okay. And so Colossians 9, verse 10 says, you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see the important things there? It's not increasing in your church attendance, attending meetings that you didn't before, you know, and showing up every time the doors open 2 hours early. You know, that's not the instruction. It's increasing the knowledge of God. Strengthen with all might. Well, how'd they get strengthened? Church attendance. No, they got strengthened by the things that preceded it. The increase of their knowledge and judgment and wisdom, their worthy walk, they got strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power unto all patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Okay, your spiritual life and its growth is a consequence, a product of you knowing God, your salvation, your faith growing, your understanding of the Bible, and doing the will of God. That is how you walk, and that is the fruit of the Christian life. Okay, and again, these things are more important than coming to church. We haven't talked about that yet. In fact, it may be hard, if you're actually doing a study on Paul's epistles, of what a church ministry is, right? And the things about a church ministry, the attendance and the leadership and all that. It might be difficult to find passages. They're there, but it's more difficult because Paul's more often talking about the gospel that saves, who you are in Christ, what Christ does for you, the Spirit dwelling in you, right? And the fact that people only hear those things at church doesn't negate the fact that you don't need the church to learn them. Amen. You can have a Bible. In fact, you'll carry your Bible home. Well, there you go. The same book that we're studying from right now, you have at home, right? Isn't that a strange thing? You don't treat other books that way. You have recipe books in your kitchen. You don't bring them all to a group, and then you open them up and finally understand the recipes, you know, and then go home, you know. Well, I forgot already. I have to go back to the meeting, you know. Like, you learn and understand how to cook and the measurements, and you use it every day, right? And that's the idea. Your spiritual walk is not defined by walking through church doors. Colossians 1, verse 21. Look what Paul said. Look at what Paul says his goal is for these people. You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath God, hath Christ reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in the sight of the pastor every Sunday. Because you got to get them to church, right? Got to look good at church, you know. No, this is unblameable presentation before God, yes. Right? Before God. Like, you will stand before God, not me. Not the church, but for God. But that's how churches think of it sometimes. Like, well, how you present yourself to the rest of us. Doesn't matter what any of us think about you. What matters is what God thinks about you. Whether you're accepted in the beloved. Whether you're reconciled to him. Whether you're being presented, you know, unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's the orientation. Okay. He says in verse 23, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled. Well, the way some people read stuff like this, you might think that, yeah, they continue in the faith. They're at church every Sunday. That is a thing they're doing, but you have to dig a little deeper to see what's going on. Some people attend churches out of a false orientation and desperation to try to seek help, right? It's like, well, I don't know what to do with my life. I'm falling apart. Things are just inside in turmoil, so I'll go to church. I don't know why. That's where you go, right? Right? That's what everyone says. Go to church. And they get there, and they see a music concert. And they're asking for money. And, you know, the kid's got a program next week, and the VBS starts, and where's the help, right? My point is simply, you can walk in the Spirit and learn how to do that and do that without coming to our church. That is possible. Galatians 5, verse 24 and 25, Paul says, if you live in the Spirit, you should walk in the Spirit. And unless you're prepared to say you only live in the Spirit when you're at church, and by the way, some churches think the Spirit only comes down in their church meetings. So that's a real flaw, okay? But unless you're prepared to say that, then you realize that if you live in the Spirit, you should walk in the Spirit. That's an everyday, every moment thing. Galatians 5, verse 24. What are you saying, Justin? You should do church every day of the week? No, I'm saying you don't need the church to be who you are in Christ. Right? Galatians 5, verse 24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I can't control your affections and lusts. We need more bylaws. No, that doesn't help. That won't help with this. This is inside you. This is between you and God. Amen. That's what this is. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us all walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know what happens when you make church attendance and the model, the presentation of who we are towards each other, a metric of your spiritual success? This, verse 26, vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I'm more spiritual than him. He's more spiritual than me. He thinks he's holier than me. What are you doing comparing each other with each other? Like, if you're coming together for that purpose, there's a problem coming together, isn't there? Paul says that exact thing in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, when you come together, it's not for good. It's almost like Paul said, I'd rather not come together, come together for that, right? Coming together should be to come together in the body of Christ, to edify and act with charity towards one another, not a lack of discerning of one another. That you can walk in the Spirit without coming to church. You can walk in the Spirit. You can help someone understand the Bible in your own family, in your own home, your own neighborhood, without coming to our church, without coming to any church. By the way, there's a difference between coming to any church and coming to our church, I hope. And that's simply because of the doctrinal differences, right? What about thing number 7 that is more important than coming to our church? Now, this is a little different than the others, but it is no less biblical. And I had to point this out because very practically and pragmatically, people are confused about this. They think church attendance is the most holy thing you can do if you want to be close to God or something like that, and that's all wrong. You're saved by grace. You can know God without coming to a church building. You can increase your faith by hearing the Word of God and the Bible. You can understand the Bible from a distance. You don't need to be a part of this church assembly to hear it. And a lot of people listening online to YouTube and learning the same thing. You can do the will of God wherever you're at, even if you don't have a church near you, right? You're supposed to do it every day of your life because it's in your mind that you're doing the will of God. And you can walk in the Spirit as well. But what about other responsibilities? What about what some people see as excuses for not coming to church, right? Your responsibilities in your life, say for work, marriage, or family. Look at 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. What does Paul say about this? What's more important, going to church or your family? This is the age-old debate, especially in Christian circles, who endorse family. Like, we're pro-family, right? So family's important, right, Pastor? Well, I'm going with my family today, you know? Okay. Let's deal with that. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4. There's a widow here who doesn't have provision. Her husband died. There's no more provision she has. And the question comes to Paul and Timothy in the church of, you know, maybe the church should help this person out because they're lacking provision. And look what Paul says. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home. First to show piety at home. He says here, what he's saying in the context is, don't come to church first to receive this provision. Go home first to receive this provision. So what's more important when it comes to the family provision of things, of need? Is it coming to church or home? Paul says home is the first, right? I understand that everyone has a home, not everyone has a family, right? Everyone has means of provision. But the church is not chargeable and responsible for that, okay? So going to church. And yet people have confused the two because they're conflicted between God promoting family, and then there's this church thing, that they've turned a major portion of church ministry into what families ought to provide, which is financial and physical provision, right? We moved here. There was a whole half of the building that was giving away clothes to people. A very good work to do for people who need clothes, you know, like half the building, and it's gone. Are we less spiritual now because we took away the free clothes? Or is our function different? You see what I'm talking about here? But I'm not talking about our church function here. I'm talking about your responsibility. Your responsibility in 1 Timothy 5 is to first show piety at home. Okay, you need to make sure that's there. If you come to church every week and your home is a garbage pit, I don't mean literally, even though that might be the case as well. I mean spiritually speaking, right? Like, there is a problem of lack of responsibility and provision in your home, okay? A lack of order in your home. That's a big issue. That's no small thing. Now, it doesn't mean you don't come to church. It's not an excuse. It's just that is a problem. It's more important, right? And so that's why in 1 Timothy 3, Paul says to get your house in order. The person who leads an assembly ought to be able to rule and order their house. They can't. This is all backwards, right? There's something more important than coming to our church, and that is your personal responsibility. You see, the church comes together in a corporate responsibility. We are members of a body, a bigger body than here, like the body that Christ made, right? But you individually have responsibilities that are God-ordained responsibilities. Amen. I don't mean responsibilities you've obligated yourself to. Those are choices you make. But there are some things that transcend those choices you make that are responsibilities. One is your family. Amen. Is responsibility. God would not have you, right, forsake your responsibility in your family in the name of going to church to do God's will. God's will is you provide for your family. Amen. Make sure that's a priority, right? 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, look what Paul says. If any provide not for his own, that's his family, his own, and especially for those of his own house, which is interesting. His own house are the people that he lives with. His own family are family that he doesn't live with, right? If he doesn't provide for his own, or especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Whoa! That got serious real quick. He doesn't say it's a bad thing and you should change your mind. He's like, worse than an infidel, right? Like, unbelievers don't gather with believers. That's just what happens. We can go invite all the unbelievers we want to church, and unless we change what we're doing at church, which most churches do, they won't want to be here. Because we use the language of belief. We praise God for what he's done, right? We do the things that believers do together. And unbelievers, that's just not what they don't buy into it, okay? But 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, you're worse than an unbeliever if you're not doing your responsibility providing for your own, okay? He makes it a priority to show piety at home. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. Now, you can see where people use this as an excuse, of course. They say, well, I've got to work on Sunday. And some people, that's more important than others. Like I said, if you cannot, if you have a choice that you have, your family needs your attention because of your responsibility. Right? I remember I stayed in the hospital for 30 days with my son. And I got to tell you, over the first 2 weeks, I didn't even think about you guys. I'm sorry. Didn't do it. And yet the church continued. Right? It wasn't until, I think, 14 days later, I'm like, wait a minute, I got a church back home. You know, what happened to them? It's my son there in a hospital, right? It's very important. I had a responsibility to do as a father. And that's what we're talking about here. It's not an excuse. Well, my son's sleeping in this morning. I guess we're not going to church. That's a different situation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. That seems harsh. If you can work and you don't work and you're begging other people for food, what's the problem? Missionaries. Sorry, I slipped out. Right? If you can work and you don't, and you're asking other people for provision, why? Right? This is a lack of personal responsibility is what that is. Okay? And so, if he would not work, neither should he eat, is what he says. For we hear that there are some among, which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. How can they not work and be busybodies? Like, busy, isn't that, they're busy, right? Not with what they need to be busy with. There's responsibilities they're not taking. And thus, because they're so busy doing other things, they're begging other people for their real responsibility. This is the problem, right? You can apply that to a lot of different things. Verse 12, now them that are such we command and exhort by Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work. Quiet, they work. And he doesn't say we command that they go to church. Get some help, you know. No, he says with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Well, Paul, if I work, I can't attend church. What do you think of that, Pastor? Do you need that money to eat? Then go to work. Can you live off 6 days of work and not seven? Then get the seventh day off. Right? It's really easy choice here. Because you're not saved by coming to church. Right? Your responsibility is to do that work. What about your family, your marriage? Look at Ephesians 4, verse 28. You see again here another admonition to work, but it's in the same book where he's dealing with these responsibilities that you may have. Because when you're saved by grace and it's not your work, sometimes the tendency is for people saved by grace to say, you know what? My works don't matter. My works don't matter. I'm giving up all responsibility. Praise God. He set me free from responsibility. Who cares about my family? You know, and Paul's going, whoa. Yeah, your works don't save you, but you have responsibilities that you should do. And it's God's will you perform them. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole, which is wrong, steal no more. So there you correct the wrong behavior. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands. If I don't steal, how do I get things? Work, you know. Let him work with his hands, labor with his hands, that thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. So now we have the reason why you're working. You say, well, I don't even need to work. Well, then you need maybe to provide for others that can't provide for themselves. Maybe have that charity. Okay, Ephesians 4, 28. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 25. Biblical responsibility. Love your wives. That's responsibility. Oh, I love the church more than my wife. That's out of order, right? It's out of order. Amen. I care more about the church I attend than my own wife, understanding the truth. This I've heard this. I'm not making this up. I've heard people say this to me, right? And I have to stop them and say, whoa. Your marriage is your first ministry, Mr. I love to minister. Minister to your wife. Minister to your spouse first. Well, if I do, she won't like I come to that church. Well, then don't go to church. Minister to your wife. A pastor says don't go to church? If it means your wife doesn't agree with it and your job is to minister to her, then that is your church, you and your wife. Amen. And you grow in the knowledge of God's word. Okay? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That sounds like a preacher responsibility. The word, cleansing, sanctifying people. And this is the husband's responsibility to his wife, that he may present it to himself a glorious church. This is Christ, and this is like a church thing, right? No, it's husbands and wife too. Amen. Well, husband and wife, like that's like a home thing. You don't come to church to exercise your husband and wife responsibility. You come to church to do something else. You're always husband and wife. So you have that personal responsibility in your marriage, right? Ephesians 5, 25, down through 30 and 31 there. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up and to church every Sunday. Right? That seems to be the thing. Raise my kids right. Why? Bring them to church every Sunday. Okay. That's something. What else? No, that's it. I bring them to church every Sunday. That's it. Well, yeah, they got Sunday school there. Oh, so they're teaching your children for 1 hour every week, and that's you bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Might check that, right? You have a personal responsibility to bring your children up. You say, yes, I'm raising my children. That's why I'm taking them on vacation this weekend, right? You're bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, right? So, like, that's the responsibility here. You see, but they need to learn other things than what the Lord gives. The most important thing you can teach your child is what the Lord's will is for them and who they are in Christ. That's the most important thing.
Amen.
Okay. You say, reading's pretty important. I agree. I'm pushing my son. You need to read, read, read. It's very important, right? But more important than reading is this. He knew Bible verses before he can read. I'm not boasting on him. I'm just simply saying, you can know the Bible. People, we covered a few weeks ago that a third of Americans are illiterate. You can learn the Bible without reading, right? So even more important than you being able to read is you knowing what God said. So how do I know if I don't read? You got to hear someone say it. Have someone read it to you, right? Get it on tape, or tape, that's, I'm old. Get it on Spotify, you know, what have you. Tape, no one uses tape anymore. Meanwhile, Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, provoke not your children to wrath, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Titus chapter 2 verse 5 says the same thing about these responsibilities. And I'm not going to get into the gender wars here, but simply the issue of what happens at home and that responsibility. Titus 2 verse 5, there's a teaching here to young women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Do you see the point of their behavior, not just the young women, but the old women and the young men and the aged men at home that Paul's dealing with, that the word of God be not blasphemed? Amen. If you believe a thing that your church believes, and we got it right at our church, and we attend the church that teaches the right thing, and yet Titus 2, 1 through 6 is not happening, right, in what you do, then the doctrine you hold to, the word of God, can be blasphemed, because they'll mock God's word as ineffectual for you because of your behavior. Your works don't save you, but they definitely save God's word from being blasphemed. Now, God's not harmed by blasphemy, but it is a bad thing, a very bad thing. It harms the ministry and communication of his word, right? What's more important than coming to church? Making sure that happens properly. Again, this is all about your home and marriage and relationship that and responsibilities you have at home. So that's seven things, and that's just seven things, more important than coming to church. I can list other things about personal integrity and what else, right? But these are more important things than coming to church. Now, I can't just end the message there, of course, as you know. We are a church meeting here, so I have to remind you of why church is important. It's just not as important as any of these seven things, okay? By the way, we should first notice what's not on this list of things that are more important than coming to church. What's not on this list of more important things than coming to church is oversleeping. See, I need sleep. Yeah, you definitely need sleep. But, like, we're talking about a third of a work day or less in a church meeting. Like, not really a good excuse, right? Well, I got to mow my grass. It's getting really long. You know, this happens, right? That's what Sunday's for. Sports. That's a cultural idol. That's a sacred cow, isn't it? I've got a survey that, or a poll rather, they did about when is it okay for parents to skip church for the sake of a sporting event for the children? And this is a bigger controversy now than it used to be. It used to be everyone knew, yeah, you don't do that, but we kind of do. And now people are like, no, this is important for my child's future, right? This tournament, you know, in California for the next 4 weeks is important for my child to be nurtured in admonition of the Lord. I mean, to be a professional, you know, tennis player, right? doesn't qualify, right? We can teach more on that, but this is not on the list of things more important than coming out to church. I'm not very social. That's not the point. The point of coming out to church is not social activity. It does concern that, like there's a thing, an accident, but it's not about that. Or entertainment. Right? It's just not very fun, right, to come to church. These are not more important than coming out to church because of the function of church, what it's supposed to be and what it performs. But why is it important to come out to church then? There's seven things that are more important, but what is the reason then? Maybe we should just all stay home. We can do all these things on our own. Yeah, you can do these things on your own, but some things can't be done without church meeting together. We cover some of these things in our traveling meetings. Jeremy teaches a lesson about that where we go and we bring people out who listen to us online. They're doing what we're saying, growing in the faith, understanding the Bible without attending a church, which you can do, right? And it benefits. And it's more important than coming out to church. But there are certain things you can't do without a church coming together, right? You cannot gather together with other members of the body of Christ, which is important for the body of Christ to function with each other. By the way, that only happens when you meet together. Paul says to greet one another. You gather together, you greet. He says there's eating there. So why do I need to eat with people? Well, it's not like a necessity for your salvation or you're increasing in the faith or understanding the Bible. But the thing we do to have communion together, amen, being of like mind and service with each other. You can't show charity to one another if you're not with one another. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 16. You cannot do this verse right here without coming together in the church. Ephesians 4, 16. You can't do this right here without coming together in the church with those that are like-minded about the gospel, about the scripture. Ephesians 4, verse 16. He says we should speak the truth in love to grow up into him in all things, which is the head of you in Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. That's a mouthful. Maketh increase of the body into the edifying of love. What is he saying? He's saying every joint supplies from Christ working in every part. Amen. So it's not like, oh, well, you know, I like daisies, so I'll come to church and bring daisies. That's not the thing you're supplying. It's like your preferences and your opinions. This has to do with Christ working in you. Amen. And Christ working in you and your neighbor and everyone else in the body, so when you come together, benefiting from Christ working in all of us. Whether it be encouragement, whether it be the ministry to one another, or the consolation, whether it be the contribution of understanding, right? All of this is necessary. You cannot do this without the joints coming together. Yes. Okay. Therefore, the church cannot edify itself and one another except when it's together. All right. And that's why we pray for one another, and that's why we minister with one another, and that's why we come together and do these sorts of things. Why is it also important to come to church, perhaps? Well, if you need help or encouragement in any of the above things, knowing God, your salvation, increasing faith, understanding the Bible, going through all those things, and I said you can do them without coming to church, which is true, but you might also be thinking, well, that's kind of difficult on my own. Well, if you need help in those things, it might benefit you. You might need, and perhaps you should, come out to church. Because all of these things as well, at least the first six there, the seventh is your home, the first six we do when we come together. We want to increase the knowledge of God. We want to see souls saved, help you understand salvation. We want to increase your faith, understand the Bible, do the will of God. We want to do that together. Amen. You could do it on your own, but doing it together is what also we have a purpose to do. So if you need help or encouragement or direction or guidance, perhaps you're unaware of what's right or wrong about doctrine or how to handle a situation, it would benefit you to come to church, right? If you desire to minister these things we just talked about that are more important than coming to church, you desire to minister those to other people, the church has the function of producing faithful workmen. Amen. So you can do all this without coming to church, and you ought to, and you should. These are more important. But what's the church's function then? To help encourage, grow, strengthen, and produce workmen that work together, can benefit from many members one of another. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, Paul says it's required of stewards to be found faithful. Well, faithfulness includes you ministering with and to other people, right? That's part of that. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, Paul says to commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. How do you know if they're able to teach others without others? How do you know they're faithful unless you have people together that identify the faithfulness, right? In fact, it's very difficult for you on your own to say, yep, I'm the faithful one. Compared to what? Like, how do you know? It's good to have each other in God's word as the standard and authority. And of course, 2 Timothy 2:15, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, not to others. Workmen that need not to be ashamed. But where do I do the work? You can do the work on your own, too. But there's a work God entrusted to the church to be a pillar on the ground of the truth, to have charity and edify and strengthen one another. And so if you don't know where else to do work, because there's plenty of opportunities to work on your own and do your own ministries, You say, what else can I do to work together? Well, come together. And maybe we can generate things we can do that we couldn't do on our own.
Amen.
So that's what it is. We're a workplace with workmen who want to do the work.
Yes.
Which, going back to being in my outline, is why it's not always the best to say, hey, stranger, come out to my church. What if they don't want to work, can't work, aren't saved? It's like, it's going to be a problem. But if that's what we're doing here in the church, and that's what you want to do, coming out to the church is important.
Amen.
Right? And God instructs us, the church, to gather together and do the work of the ministry. Right? So those are some things that are more important than coming out to church, and also why church is important. Hopefully that was helpful. Thought that might be an interesting thing to put in a tract or something to give to people, as many people are confused about church attendance and what that does. Any comments or questions about any of that?